All right, while our musicians are finding their seats, there are still some empty seats here in the front, and those are reserved for any of our other children that might want to come up a little closer. You're more than welcome to come up here if you want to do that. If you want to sit with Mom and Dad, that's okay too. And but if you'd like to be up here, then you're welcome to come and take one of these seats up here. Everybody's getting situated. I'm going to try to get rid of this pulpit here. Also, I think we need some Bibles for some of the kids up here, too. So we might need, Carissa, you said you need about three. So we need about three Bibles up here for Carissa's class. Anybody else in any of the other classes any other kids, especially today, that need a Bible? Just lift your hand up and we'll have one of our guys get some Bibles to you right here in the front, Larry. Okay. Aren't you glad you're saved today?
Amen.
Amen. You know, lately, I've been thinking more and more about how we do our church services. And as you know, we really don't stand very much on tradition around here. Just because things have always been done a certain way doesn't mean necessarily they have to always be done that way. There isn't anything in the scriptures to actually describe the order of a service. You know, in the Bible, the believers met in homes. They met around dining room tables and on rooftops. We know a missionary who has tremendous work down in Mexico and has started 4 or 5 churches down there. One of them over 500 people, and they don't even have a building. None of the churches he started in Mexico. That's Brother Lendell Kincaid and some of the men that he's trained up out of his church. They go to Mexico and they have church services in the park by design. That's the way they plan it from the beginning. That there might not be anything of a material nature that would distract, you know, people from their responsibility just to live for Jesus Christ. And sometimes all of our dumb little traditions that we have as Christians can actually get in the way. And anything that looks like it might ever get in the way, as far as I'm concerned, it ought to be thrown right out. And I'm not so sure about some of the things that we do by tradition. Including, I don't want you to think I'm a heretic or anything, but I mean, even including how we do Sunday school here. Now, we do the way, I guess most every other church does, every other Protestant or Bible-believing church would do on a Sunday morning. We get together, the adults go one way, and the kids go another way. But if you notice that, many times in a church service, that's the way it always is. You know, you come in, the adults sit in one area. Sometimes it's even the men in one area, the women in another area, the teenagers in another area, the kids in another area, and families are never together. Throughout the week, it's bad enough as it is that just the course of life, the pressures of life, keep us from spending a lot of time together as families like we should. How many times, maybe you've got all of your schedules just perfectly ordered and everything, but aren't there times when you wish you could always eat together as a family? Sometimes you don't, especially as your kids get a little older. Schedules, you know, and this thing and that thing, and there's an awful lot of the world pulling at us that keeps us apart as family. And, you know, next to the church, there's one thing more important than the church, actually, and that is our families, our homes. And as we've said many times, this church is only going to be as strong as our homes. That's why these messages lately on the wife's relationship, the husband's relationship, are very important. And we come to that verse today in Colossians chapter 3 that actually deals with our children. And so I wanted today not to preach to you about your children, but I wanted to speak to the children. The verse that we're going to look at today, we're going to start with the verse in Colossians chapter 3, and then we're going to look at a lot of other verses. And this is God's word to your child's heart. So all of our kids here today, need to sit up, take notice, pay attention, let the Spirit of God speak to you. So if you're an adult here today, you may feel a little neglected in the service. You may feel a little, like I'm not interested in you this morning, especially if you're a visitor. But we wanted to speak directly to the kids today, not just our little kids, but also to our older young people. One of the problems that there, I believe, is true in Christianity today is sometimes our children grow up living on mom and dad's Christianity and never really have a Christianity of their own, never really have a walk with God and a relationship with God all their very own. God is a very personal God. And as you and I direct our families, we ought to encourage our children to have their own personal relationship with the Lord. Because every one of our kids are just as important to God as you and me. And especially if they're young, now that they're young, perhaps if the Spirit of God can get a hold of their heart and some truth can get settled down in their heart, this book can keep them out of some of the mistakes and the paths that you and I have walked in, the sins that you and I have committed. Perhaps if we can instill the things of this book in the hearts of our kids and let it be real to them, let it not just be mom and dad's Christianity, but let it be their Savior, their Christ, their God, their Father, their book, then maybe they will be able to avoid some of the mistakes that you and I have made. So today we're going to look at verses. Most of the verses that we look at today are going to have to do with children. And so especially I want all the children to be very attentive. And I know that's kind of hard when you're little and you have the wiggles. I'm big and I still have the wiggles sometimes. But we'll try to keep it interesting for you today. Okay. Well, here's where we're going to start in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse number 20. And I wonder, as soon as any of our kids get that, as soon as you find the place, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20, just lift your hand, and maybe one of you would like to read it. Okay, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Okay, you got it? Okay, does everybody see that? Okay, why don't we all read it together? Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Okay, ready? Here we go. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Okay, so we're going to start there. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll see what the Bible says about this subject. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. Our dear Father, Lord, this morning I thank you for your word. I thank you for each and every one of these young people, all these little ones, Lord, that have their whole life ahead of them. We pray that you may help us as moms and dads that we might not fail to live the kind of life in front of them where they see that you are very real to us and that this book is precious to us. Lord, we sometimes say and do one thing on a Sunday morning and live a completely different way the rest of the week. And our children see that. They see hypocrisy. They see something that is just for show. And Lord, if they see that, Lord, they'll never grow up to trust you and love you and live by your word. And I pray that you may help us as moms and dads that we'd not make that mistake, that the things that we tell our children, we truly would live them before them. The things that we want our children to learn, I pray that you'd help us to learn them first and obey you first. Help us to know that these verses apply not only to the little ones, but these verses also apply to us, because even as grown-ups, we're still children of God. So help us, Lord, to know that we never can outgrow a time in our life when we're to be obedient. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that our children would see that example in our homes. Wives obedient to their husbands, husbands and fathers obedient to thy word and to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help us, Lord, that our children would learn these lessons with all their heart. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege today to speak to them. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you'll give them an understanding and help them to be blessed and strengthened and ministered to by the Scriptures today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I forgot to mention, two people mentioned it to me. Dave, where are you this morning? Dave Carbocci. Dave is here this morning with us in the service. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And just continue to pray for Dave as he gets stronger. He goes back to work tomorrow. So having suffered a heart attack at so tender an age, so young an age, but help him, then pray for him, and that God might strengthen him and bless him as he recovers. All right, so our verse this morning, guys, says, children, obey your parents. In how many things? What does it say? All things, okay? So that means in every area of our life. Now, I'm not only speaking to the little ones here today, I'm really speaking to all of us here today, because as we said, even though these children are to be obedient to mom and dad, you and I, especially if we're saved, are still to be obedient to the Lord. We are children of God. And the things that are written to the children here, as far as their obedience to a mother and a father, apply to you and I as sons of God. Now, the first thing I want to say, especially to all of our kids, is that you guys are a gift from God. Did you know that? Did you know that you are a gift from God to your mom and dad? Now, your mom and dad may not realize that, but and they may not always treat you like you're a gift from God. But you are a gift from God in heaven to your parents. And the Bible says so. We're going to read in Psalm 127. Psalm 127. If you can find that real quick, I'll let one of you read it. Psalm 127. Who can find that? Jonathan, I saw your hand first. Okay. Psalm 127, listen, verse 3 and 4 and 5. Psalm 127, let everybody get it though, Jonathan. Psalm 127, verse 3 and 4 and 5. Okay? Want to read it real big and loud?
Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb in His reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak the enemies in the gate.
Okay. All right. You see that? Lo, it says, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. It just simply means that children are a gift of God to parents. Children are a wonderful gift to their parents. The Bible tells us that it's like God's reward in a sense. And God gives children to a mother and a father for a very important reason. Now the Bible here says in verse number 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And that just simply means, you know, you guys ever seen those pictures like Robin Hood has on his back? He has one of those things that he keeps his arrows in. The little thing on his back is called a quiver, and he puts all of his arrows in it. The Bible says, children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. A mighty man who can take an arrow, point it in the right direction, and with his own strength and with the help of the Lord, can point that arrow where it's supposed to go and make sure that it hits its mark. The Bible says that's what children are like. God gives us children for a reason. Not just so that there's a little noise in our house, not just so that we have some company, not so that they can grow up and help you tend the field and plow the field and, you know, milk the cows and, you know, not so that they can help you in your business. Children are given to a mom and dad for a very important reason. They are given because God wants moms and dads to raise them for the glory of God. They're like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. They're not to be sent through life just aimlessly, but they're meant to be like arrows in the hand of a mighty man, something that with the help of God and with the strength that God gives us and the grace that God gives us, that we can point them in the right direction and send them off so that they They hit that mark that God wanted them to hit. They're like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And the Bible says, verse number 5, that happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Now, I don't know how full a quiver is supposed to be, but mine's pretty crowded. And I can tell you that I'm a happy man. I am a happy man for the children that the Lord gave me. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you need to have 10 or 15 or 20 children. There are some people that believe that, and this is okay if you believe this way, that you should just continue having children as long as the Lord gives you strength to do so. Now, I don't mind those who have that conviction. I think that's a wonderful thing. That takes a lot of faith, and that takes a lot of grace. But if a person has that conviction from the Lord, then God will provide. God will provide. Some families make a decision, just, okay, I'm going to have one, I'm going to have two, I'm going to have three. But whatever, if it's 1, 2, 3, 10, 15, look at them as a precious gift from God, because that's exactly what they are. In Psalm 128, which is right below that, it says this: Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. When my wife and I were first saved, we claimed these verses. These were verses that we personally took as a promise from the Lord to us, that my wife would be as a fruitful vine by the side of my house, and that my children would be like olive plants round about our table. And we claimed that promise from the Lord. And this verse goes on to say, it says, verse 4, Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And it just simply means that children are God's blessing. I know moms and dads that think that children get in the way. That children are just, you know, children are just the product of a physical relationship, and then they've got to be cared for, they've got to be fed, they've got to be schooled, they've got to be taken care of. And some parents can actually have an attitude in their heart where kids get in the way of what you were really meant to accomplish in life. I hope that no woman in this place ever puts her career ahead of her children. Now, I'm not saying a woman shouldn't work and shouldn't have a career. But if you need something beyond your children to find fulfillment in life, you've got your eyes on the wrong kind of a goal. You have your eyes on something impressed on you by the world and not by the Spirit of God. We have been made to think, women have been made to think, that motherhood is not really the highest and most noble calling for a woman. But it is. It really is. There isn't anything higher and more noble and more demanding and takes more grace and more perseverance and more help from God than raising children. And if children are put aside for the sake of something else that you find fulfillment in, then you have missed God's calling for your life, ladies. You've missed God's will. Now, if the Lord doesn't give you children, that may be one thing. If the Lord hasn't given you a husband yet, that may be another thing. But if and when God blesses you with those things, children are not just the product of a physical relationship and then they have to be tended to. They are the blessings of God. They are the heritage of the Lord. They are His reward. They are given to us for a very reason. For a very important and eternal reason. And our children need to be seen as a precious gift from God. They shouldn't be overlooked. That's why sometimes I'll be honest with you, I get a little convicted about our whole Sunday school thing, you know, where I know that it doesn't always have to be this way, but it's the same feeling I have sometimes when I go past that bookstore down there. Is it okay to provide decent books that are doctrinally sound so that you can get them at a cheap price and fine? Yeah, that's good. But if that keeps you out of the Bible, then I've failed. I've sinned against God in helping you not read your Bible. And sometimes, although Sunday school can be a good thing, it is a good thing. Many children have gotten saved through our Sunday school. If Sunday school is an excuse for you not to teach your children at home and to teach them the Word of God, then I don't want to help you sin against God. Because the Sunday school is not supposed to take the place of what mom and dad is supposed to be doing for their children throughout the week. We're supposed to be teaching our kids. We're supposed to be sharing the Word of God with them. We're supposed to be living the kind of life in front of them Monday through Saturday, Monday through Sunday, so that when they come on a Sunday and they do hear something from their Sunday school teacher, they don't have to scratch their head and say, well, boy, you know, I've never seen that at my home. I've never heard that in my home. I've never seen that godly characteristic in my mom and dad. It shouldn't be something foreign to them. If they do hear something in church, it ought to be something that is just, we're seconding something that they're already hearing in your house. That the preacher is just adding something to, or the Sunday school teacher is just adding something to, that they're already learning at home. I don't want to teach them first. I want you to teach them first. And then, if anything, I can just come along and encourage them and reiterate it and reinforce it and confirm it, what they're already learning in your house. And of course, that requires work. And that requires faithfulness and diligence on the part of a mom and dad. And to be honest with you, most people put more energy and time and effort, study, preparation into work, careers, entertainment, sports, recreation, everything else except the eternal and spiritual future of their children. And we just trust, well, the church is going to do it. I don't know how many times I've talked to parents whose children went astray as they got older. We have parents who don't, families who don't come here anymore, who blame this church for having failed their children. I know a couple of families like that. Well, my children just didn't learn anything in that church. Well, if they were learning what they should have at home, it wouldn't have really hurt them. If they were learning what they should have at home, it wouldn't have hurt them. But it's supposed to be taking place at home because children are an heritage of the Lord. They were given to us as a gift from God. They are God's blessings. I guess it's just normal anytime a man and a woman come together as husband and wife to desire to have children. Our little girls, you know, start out playing with dolls. I don't know what little girl doesn't want to be a mommy someday. You know, that's normal. That's from the Lord. I don't know about boys. I think they want to, you know, I don't know if every little boy wants to be a daddy, wants to be a father. But I would hope so. You know, I would hope that we haven't turned our kids off so much to family that our boys wouldn't want someday to be fathers and to guide a house and to teach their children. I hope we could instill that in our kids as they grow old, as they grow older. But it's a normal desire. We long to have children of our own. Every little girl wants to be a mommy someday. You look through the Bible and you find how men and women just naturally, they just desired and they longed for children. Remember when Eve first got a child? She rejoiced because she had gotten a man from the Lord, she said. A man child, a boy. And she rejoiced all through the scriptures, those in the Bible who, some who were barren and weren't able to get children. And they prayed and they wept and they cried. Hannah comes to mind. Others come to mind. Rachel in the Bible, who wasn't able to conceive. And then she prayed and she wept and she asked the Lord. And then she was able to bear children. And what a joy it was, and it was a great time of rejoicing. But children are a special blessing from God. And you know what? We need to always remember that children are precious in the eyes of God. They are not to be pushed aside. They make demands. They take a lot of time, and it's easy as an adult to get frustrated, to get irritated, to get impatient, and yet, the time that it takes to instill the things of God in them is very important. Go to Mark chapter 10. In the Gospel, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Look at verse number 13. Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. You have it, Luke? All right, it was quick. Okay, Keen. All right, you can. Let's see. Let's let everybody catch up with us. Mark chapter 10. Verse number 13. Okay, let's read down through. We're going to read down through verse number 15. Okay?
And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.
Man, did you see that? The great and mighty disciples, you know. These guys who followed the Lord, who would later become apostles. People were coming to the Lord to be healed and blessed and just to be in His presence. And somebody brought a bunch of kids to the Lord. Some little children, it says. Isn't that what it says? Young children to Him. That He should touch them. It doesn't say they were sick. It doesn't say they were diseased. It doesn't say they were lame. It just somebody wanted their kids to be in contact with Jesus Christ. They just wanted Jesus to be able to put His hands on them and bless them and touch them. Boy, I hope you want that for your kids. I want my kids to have some real contact with Jesus Christ. I mean, not just hear about Him through me, but I mean be able to talk to Him, have Him talk to them. Our children need to have that personal relationship with the Lord. But you know what? The disciples rebuked those that were bringing the children to the Lord. Now I can just see those. I mean, there's mighty Peter and, you know, and John and James and all those guys. But they discouraged these people from bringing children to the Lord. And when the Lord saw it, it says, He was much displeased. When the people tried to keep the children away from the Lord got angry. He was displeased. And He said, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You know what, boys and girls? Every one of you is precious to the Lord. Every one of you matters to the Lord. Every one of you has an eternal soul, and you're going to live forever, and it's not a mistake that you're on this earth. It is not a mistake that you're here. You didn't evolve from a monkey. You didn't come up from some slippery, slimy pool of ooze a million years ago. God in heaven created you, and you're here for a reason. You're here because God loves you, and God gave you to a mom and a dad so that they could teach you about the Lord. And the Lord wants you to come to Him. The Lord would never allow something to come between you and Him. And when even the disciples, as smart as they were and as knowledgeable as they were in the things of God, they didn't recognize the importance of those little kids. They didn't understand the importance of those little children. The communists have understood that. The communists have understood, down through history, they've understood the importance of getting to people when they're little, indoctrinating, you know, putting all their false garbage in the minds of children. The school system understands the importance of infiltrating your children's minds with their philosophy. I'm not saying everything they learn at school is going to be bad, but there definitely is an agenda and a philosophy. And it somebody, and I'm not talking about any particular teacher, but I mean there is a spirit at work trying to train our children to think a certain way. And if there isn't anything from their parents and from their church to balance that so that they hear some truth, they will go the way of the world. The world understands the importance of reaching people when they're little. So important for a mom and a dad to understand that. We think, well, you know, some of this stuff doesn't really pertain to kids. You know, when they get older, I'll let them make a decision for themselves. You know, no. Right now, while they're little, is when kids need to be learning the Word of God. While they're little. I'm glad for all the kids that know memory verse. How many of you know a memory verse? Anybody here know a memory verse? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise the Lord. To know a verse in your heart. To know a verse in your heart. I'll bet you if I ask the adults how many of you here know a verse by heart, wouldn't be as many hands as there would be among the children. To learn the Word of God. I know a guy in the Bible named Timothy, who from the time he was a child, he knew the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul said about Timothy that from the time he was a little child, like this, he knew the Word of God. He knew the Scriptures, which the Bible says are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So that means somebody, we know who it was, in the Bible it tells us it was Timothy's mother and his grandmother. From the time Timothy was little, somebody was giving him the Word of God. Are you giving your kids the Word of God at home? Are you giving them the Word of God at home? Remember how the Jews were told to write it on their doorpost? They were to wear it on their forehead, wear it on their wrist. They were to talk about it in their homes with their children. The Word of God was supposed to be a normal part of their family life. It was supposed to be something that was discussed. The Word of God was just a part of normal conversation. It wasn't just a book that you go get on Sunday morning and, you know, blow all the dust off, you know, and then, you know, have to go find it, look for it under the bed, you know, under all the Legos and the Nintendo and, you know, scoot all the toys. Oh, there's my Bible. It's all wrinkled and bent and ripped, you know, and been shoved in a closet under the shoes, and finally it's time to go to church, so you dig it back out. Unfortunately, that's the way it is with a lot of kids. You know, but it ought to be a book that's a part of our lives every day, throughout the week. It's not just something you go get when it's time to come to church. But Timothy, from the time he was a child, somebody was sharing the scriptures with him. And it's no wonder Timothy turned out to be a pastor when he, or a servant of the Lord, whether he was a pastor or a missionary or whatever, or just a good, faithful servant of God and a good man of God. He turned out to be a good man as he got older, and he loved the Lord. Our responsibility to our children is to understand how precious they are in the eyes of the Lord. Our responsibility is to give them the Word of God. God cares about children. When you and I get saved, what does He call us? Children of God. Throughout the Bible, again and again, we're called children of God, sons of God. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Now, the verse that we started out with has a very important word in it. We started out with Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, and it has a very, very important word in it. And that word is something that even grown-ups have a hard time with. It's not just children that have a hard time with this word. But Colossians chapter 3, verse number 20, has a word in there that's probably very, very hard for people to do. Which word would you think it, which word do you think that would be? Caitlin? Obey. Is that hard to do? It is, isn't it? Anybody else think that's hard to do? How many of you think it's hard to obey? Okay, be honest. Okay, you're not, nobody's going to tell your parents. Is it hard to obey? Yeah, it sure is. Because you know what? It's not natural for us to obey. In fact, the Bible calls the natural man, in Ephesians chapter 2, it calls those who are not saved children of disobedience. Children of disobedience. I think twice in the book of Ephesians, it calls men children of disobedience. And when we get saved, we go from being children of disobedience to being children of the Lord. And when we become children of the Lord, even though we're grown-ups, we are supposed to obey the Lord. And so, God has this word for all the kids here today, including the bigger kids. The bigger kids, too. You know, the ones that think they're old enough to run the world but can't get out of bed to do it. You know.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are think they're smart enough to correct mom and dad. You know, the older kids. You're still children. Until you're out there and you have children of your own and you're raising a family of your own, this verse still applies to you. And even after that, obey your mother and father. But notice it says, children, obey. Children, obey. Children, obey. Who would like to tell me what it means to obey? Anybody have an idea? Okay. Michael? Yeah. To do what you're supposed to do, right? Do what your parents tell you to do. How are we supposed to obey? You know, some people obey outwardly. They do what they're told, but in their heart, they're still being disobedient. Sometimes even grown-ups do that with the Lord. Sometimes we do what we're told to do, but we don't do it happily. We don't do it quickly. We don't do it with the right spirit. The Bible tells us, children, obey your parents in all things. In all things. Is there anything that you can think of, kids, any kind of an area where you don't have to obey your mom and dad? Is there anything that a kid can do where he does not have to obey his mother and father? No. The Bible says all things, right? All things. If mommy and daddy say to do it, what should a son or a daughter do? Do it. That's right. To do it. Obey your parents in all things. And what's the rest of that verse say? Can you see it? For this is well-pleasing unto whom? Well-pleasing unto the Lord. When we obey, God is pleased with that. When we do what we are told as children, then the Bible says that God is pleased with that. And with all of our heart, the thing that we ought to desire more than anything else is to please the Lord. He's the one that gave us life. He's the one that takes care of us every day. He's the one that's preparing a home in heaven for us. He's the one that sent His Son to die on a cross for us. More than anybody else in the world, we want to make sure we please the Lord. And you know how He's pleased? When you obey your parents. When you obey mom and dad, God in heaven is pleased. When we disobey our parents, is God pleased? No. When we disobey our parents, God is not pleased. Now, all through the Bible, there are all kinds of warnings about disobedience. There's one found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Now, sometimes we don't apply this to children because the context is just the local church. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17 says this. I'll let you guys get there. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Okay, how many of you have it? Okay. Michael, would you like to read it? Read it big and loud. Okay. Now, we usually apply this verse to the local church. The context is the body of Christ, the assembly of the believers. And it's talking about those who have positions of authority in a church. Whether it's authority in a church, or whether it's authority in a government, or whether it's authority in a home, God has established authority. As citizens, aren't there those who we have to obey? God has put men in authority in our society. God has given us governors and presidents and policemen and sheriffs. And God intends us as citizens to obey those that we're under the authority of. Imagine if a policeman who's been given authority by our society to do certain things and have certain power. When a policeman says something to the bad guy, what's the bad guy supposed to do? Obey. Is he supposed to argue? No. If the policeman says one thing, the bad guy or the good guy, even the good guy, is supposed to do one thing. Obey. Why? Because society, that's all of us together, we have allowed that person is given certain power for the safety and the protection of all of us. Now, I know it gets abused sometimes by some, but those are the exceptions. But because society has given to that person power, then society has to obey that person when he exercises that power and authority. Because we gave it to him. God set all of that up, and God intended it to be that way. In Romans chapter 13, God tells all of us, as citizens, that we are to be subject to the higher powers. That no Christian should be involved in trying to overturn anything. No Christian should be involved in trying to march on Washington. Now, you can let your voice be heard. You have a right to speak your mind. We have a right to speak our opinions. We still have a little liberty in this country to do that. If you think about the days in which the Apostle Paul lived, a lot of unjust things were done to Christians by the government. Even to the Apostle Paul, he died in a prison. He was beheaded. And yet he didn't die ranting and raving and protesting his death, saying, I don't deserve to be here, I didn't break any rules, he didn't try and get the Christians to come and march on the jail, he didn't try and stir up, you know, the believers to overturn the government of Rome. You know what Paul did? He was subject to the powers that God allowed to be in authority. It's a principle that starts all the way from society. It works itself down into the church. God has allowed that some be put in positions of authority. Why? Because they're better, smarter, more spiritual? Not always. It's just that God knows it needs to be that way. And that same system, that principle of authority, is established in the home. God has put moms and dads in authority. Are moms and dads always right? No. They ever make a mistake? Yeah. Yeah. Does the preacher ever make a mistake? Oh, yeah. Oh, lots of them. Hey, does the government ever make a mistake? Oh, yeah. Lots of them. Yeah. Boy, oh, boy. The policeman ever make a mistake? Yes. But is authority always to be respected and obeyed? And aren't we always to be in subject to the authority that God has permitted to be in place? Absolutely. Not only for our own conscience sake, but for our testimony's sake and for our safety's sake. And so God, in the home, God has put moms and dads in authority, not boys and girls. Some kids think they're smarter than mom and dad. Some kids want to know a reason for every rule given to them. Sometimes mom and dad say, well, I want you to do this. What's the first question many kids ask? Why? You know what? The answer to that question is, never mind why. Just do it. Nobody has to have a reason. Because God has put mom and dad in authority. What are children supposed to do? Children, obey your parents in all things. Everything. Clean your room. Yes, ma'am. Take the dishes off the table. Yes, ma'am. Pick up your clothes. Yes, sir. You know, that's not the normal way it is in most homes, is it? Why? Well, I did it yesterday. Why can't he do it? He didn't do it at all today. Well, how come she's not going to do it? I do it all the time. Well, I did it. Oh. Man. Can you imagine if a church ran that way? Can you imagine if every time the preacher opened the Bible and says, thus saith the Lord, everybody said, well, why? Why? Imagine if we had to have 30 minutes of arguing with what the Word of God says. Oh, I don't like it. How come he said that? No, it is what it is. It says what it says. You and I are to obey them. They have rule over us. That applies to the government. That applies to the church. That applies to the home. There are men in this government that have rule over me. Guess what? I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to obey them. I'm supposed to obey them. Are they always right? No. They make mistakes? They sure do. But as a child of God, I'm to obey those that God has permitted to be in authority over me, even when their rule is not always just and perfect. For conscience sake and for testimony's sake, I'm to be subject. In the home, it's to be the same way. Many a wife is married to a husband who's not a good man. And yet the scriptures say, wives, obey your husband. Submit yourselves to your husband. Is there a conditional clause in there for the ladies? You know, ladies, obey your husband, submit yourself to your husband, as long as what he does is right in your eyes and you agree with it, you know, and it's pleasing to you. No, sometimes a husband may not always make the right call, but a wife is supposed to always have a spirit of submission and to be yielded to her husband. I wonder sometimes if maybe our kids don't obey more because they see such disobedience in the home. They see such disobedience on mom's part, such a lack of submission on mom's part to her husband, or a lack of obedience and a lack of submission on a mom and dad's part to the rules and the laws of the land. If you have a tendency to be a lawbreaker and break the law with glee, you know, and your children know about it, and you like to talk about all the ways in which you've gotten over on the government, and where the ways in which you've cut those corners, and which you've, you know, done this and done that, and then you expect your children just to obey you and follow your instructions? How can that be? They see the hypocrisy in your home. So it says in Hebrews, obey them that have the rule over you. Yes, mom and dad are given by the Lord permission to rule over you. To be a ruler means to be the one in charge. To be the one who makes the rules. That's the ruler. The one who makes the rules. Who makes the rules in your home? Who makes the rules in your home? In many homes, it's the kids that make the rules. It really is. The kids make the rules. And mom and dad are just juggling 15,000 different ways to keep all the kids happy. The kids make the rules. It's not a democracy. There are things in your home you don't have to vote on. Your children don't have to have, you know, representation. It is a benevolent and a loving dictatorship. It's a theocracy in a sense. That's the way Israel was. Israel was not given a president, they were given a king in the Bible. Someone who would rule in God's stead, knowing that God would hold them accountable for every decision that they made. That's the way it is in the home. The mom and dad are to rule that way, to rule, and then the children are to submit themselves to mom and dad. Why? Verse number 17 goes on to say, they watch for your souls. You know what mom and dad are supposed to be doing for you guys, boys and girls? Mom and dad are supposed to be watching out for your souls. Mom and dad are supposed to be like spiritual shepherds, making sure that you walk in such a way that the Lord is pleased, making sure that someday you end up in heaven. I can't imagine any sorrow greater than that, than to have had the opportunity. I mean, maybe some of us got saved when our kids were older, and there was a lot of bad already planted in their life. But if you've had the privilege of having been able to raise children in the Lord, I don't know any sorrow that could be greater than to get to the end of life and know that some of your children weren't saved and didn't go to heaven, and you'd be separated from them forever. I mean, you might have been successful and had a great career, and you might have gone through life feeling very fulfilled and had the honor and the respect of all of your peers, but to then go to heaven and not have your children with you, what really was all of that worth? To have lost that, I think, would be just tremendous loss, a terrible loss. I would rather be sure that my children are with me in heaven and my wife is with me in heaven than to have done any other great deed that I can think of. Because heaven is a long, long time. And the success you some of you are clawing after and craving for, that success is very short-lived. And it isn't going to mean anything in heaven. But you'll have your children, those that are saved, you have your children with you forever in heaven. And the time that you spend and invest in your children is just so very important. I wish I could just wake up some of us, you know, some of us moms and dads, to the importance of that. But children, it is right for you to listen to mom and dad and to obey mom and dad. The Bible is full of all kinds of warnings. Anybody know what a warning is? What's a warning? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. What's a warning? That's pretty good. No, that's pretty good. A warning means it's like telling you that there's some danger ahead, that there's something ahead to be avoided, there's a risk. And a warning means, it's like, be careful, don't do this or else that will happen. A warning means somebody, maybe who can see a little further down the road than you, sees that there's a danger in doing something, and so they tell you and they warn you not to do that. The Bible is full of warnings. The Bible is full of warnings from the Lord. You know why the Lord can warn us? Because He can see a lot further ahead than we can. And He knows the results that come when children start out young and disobey their moms and dads. It usually means they'll grow up to disobey God. That's one of the reasons it's so important, moms and dads, for you to instill obedience in your children. And to do it the Bible way. We'll get on that when we come to talking to the fathers in a week or two. But obedience is a basic and a most important attribute to get established in our children. Why? Because if our children are taught when they're little that they can selectively obey us, then they will selectively obey God. If they're taught that they can obey when they feel like obeying and then don't obey when they don't feel like obeying, guess what? They're going to turn out like many of us turned out, to obey God when we feel like it and disobey God when we don't feel like doing what He wants us to do. We're laying character traits in their life while they're little so that as they grow up, they won't turn out to make the mistakes that many of us have made. That they'll grow up to have a heart for the Lord and a heart to obey the Lord. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. Now, in the Ten Commandments, the Lord put one of those commandments in there about children and their parents. Do you remember this? I know some of you guys probably remember the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, the Lord said this. I'll let you get there first. Exodus chapter 20. It's all the way back in the beginning, huh? It's okay. It is like right there. Okay, 20, verse number 12. There, good. Got it? Anybody need help getting it? You find it? Exodus chapter 20. Who wants to read it? Anybody got it? Anybody got it? Go ahead. Yeah. Exodus 20, verse 12. Okay, everybody see that? Let's read it together with him. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Bible says that that's the first commandment with a promise attached to it. The Lord gave lots of commandments, things that he expected to be obeyed. That commandment is the first one that God stuck a promise on. The commandment is honor thy father and thy mother. That's almost the same as obey. That means to reverence and respect and to listen to your parents. And there's a promise attached to it. What's the promise? The command is honor. What's the promise? Can anybody see the promise that's attached to that, Keith? You'll live long. You'll live a long life. Can you imagine God making a promise like that? How many of you kids would like to live a long life? Like to grow up? You don't want to grow up? How would you like to live? How many of you would like to live long enough to grow up? The Bible says that if you will honor your mother and father, God promised to make your life long upon the earth. It's the first commandment in the Bible with the promise attached. That's how important this is to the Lord, for children to honor their father and mother. That means to listen and to do what mom and dad say. To honor them, reverence them, respect them, obey them. You say, well, you're just saying that because you want to scare me. No. Every kid, I don't care whether you're little or whether you're a big kid, this book still applies to you. I don't care, you might be a 40 or a 50-year-old kid, this book still applies to you. To obey. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth. So there's a command from the Lord to be obeyed, and there is a promise from the Lord that He would bless you when you obey. When we do what's right in the eyes of God, what does the Lord do? He blesses us. And when we do what's wrong in the eyes of the Lord, what does God do? He corrects us. I hope you have a mom and dad that do the same. When you do what's right, I hope your mom and dad bless you. And when you do what's wrong, I hope you have a mom and dad that correct you. That means show you what you did that wasn't right and show you how to do it the right way and correct you. A parent that lets their child just go aimlessly drifting along will be a parent that one day will have their heart broken. And their children will bring them shame. The child left to himself, the Bible says, bringeth his mother to shame. Many a child has been left to himself. I don't mean left alone in a room, but I mean left to just, the TV raises them. The school teacher raises them. What do they call those things where you put your kids while you go to work? I forget what those things are called. The daycare raises them. Boy, that's a scary thought, isn't it? That's a child just left to himself. Let the world raise him. Guess what? The devil would be more than happy to do that for you, mom and dad. The devil will be more faithful than you will be, if you'll let him. He will be more diligent. He will work harder. He will make sure that his principles get instilled in your children, and he'll do it quicker than you can ever do it, if you neglect it. And a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. But all the blessings of God, when we do what's right, God has promised to bless us. Now, I'm going to show you a scary verse. There's some things in this book that are scary. There's some things in the Bible that even scare me as an adult. And that's good, because it's not all bad to be scared sometimes. How many of you know the rest of this verse? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's right. So God says there are some things in life that it's good to be afraid of. And God is a powerful and a mighty God. And although we love Him, we also should fear displeasing Him. And God says that's a good thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now I want to show you a couple of verses that are a little bit scary. But these verses were written to people who lived back before Jesus came. And there was a time back then, because God wanted men to understand how terrible sin was, God put laws in His Word. And if people in those days, especially back when they lived like in the days of Moses, if they broke those laws, guess what happened to them? Anybody know? They died. God put laws in this book, in the Old Testament, because He wanted people to understand how awful sin was. He put laws in His Word that if you broke them, the punishment was not getting your hand slapped, but the punishment was death. Now, I'm glad that today, because we have Jesus as our Savior, we're not under that law anymore. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't still feel the same way about those sins. God put those things in His Word to let you know how He feels about certain sins, and to let you see that in His mind, it is a horrible and a terrible thing. This is one of those verses. It's a little scary, especially for kids, but I want you to see how serious the Lord takes this idea of obedience. Ready? Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21, and let's see, look at verse number 15. Exodus 21, 15. Now, back in the old days when the laws of Moses were given, sin was punished by death. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I'm sure glad we have a Savior today, aren't you? I'm glad Jesus came to pay and to die for my sin so that we don't have to die when we sin. But God's Word is still true, and God wants us to understand how horrible sin is. And one of those commandments given in His Word is, notice it says, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely, what? Put to death. Now I know that's not something a little kid would ever be guilty of, I don't think. Although, more and more, it's probably possible. Some of the things you see in the grocery stores, I've seen little kids smacking their mothers around. If it wasn't for the fact that those kids only weigh 50 pounds, you know, that's probably the only thing that saves mom. Let that kid get to be about 150 pounds and she'd be bruised. But the Bible says, you know how God feels about that? When a child treats its mother or father that way? God says, you should die. So that's pretty bad. I would never strike my mother or father. Okay, just read verse 17. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. That's how God feels about when a child disobeys, disrespects, whatever, strike or curse or speak back to their mother or father. I got one that's even worse than that. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Look at verse number 17. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 17. Okay. Everybody have it? Okay. Give somebody a chance to... Would somebody like to read this who didn't get a chance to read? Did you read, Michael? You read once? Okay. Yes, son. Go ahead. Ooh. Man, isn't that gross? Did you hear what she said? Let me read it to you. Okay. The eye that mocketh at his father. Now, the Bible talks about striking mom and dad, cursing mom and dad. But now, how it says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens, that's a bird, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. Isn't that gross? Do you know what? That's how God feels when he looks down on a child that disobeys, disrespects, would ever speak back to mom and dad, or, God forbid, would ever raise their hand to mom or dad. But notice it even, have you ever seen anybody that could mock someone with their eye? Now, usually we think of mocking somebody with their voice. You know what it means to mock? Sort of like behind their back, make fun of them and kind of imitate them. You know, like, you know, mommy says, go clean your room. And then you go off in your room and go clean your room. That's all she says to me, go clean your room. You know what that is? That's mocking your mother, right? Your father says, I want you to do this. And you go,
I want you to do this.
Now, we think we mock people with our mouth. God notices even when we mock with our eye. How could you mock someone with your eye? Mommy says, do this, and you, with your eyes you go. Do you know that God sees that? Do you know that God sees that? You think mom didn't see it. Dad didn't see it. Dad says something, and then you go. You didn't say a word, but you know what? Your eyes said it for you. Your heart said it for you. And God, who sees the heart and sees the eyes and knows your thoughts, the Bible says that a child is to obey. And that doesn't just mean with your mouth. That means obey with your heart. That means obey. I know somebody in the Bible who always obeyed. I know somebody in the Bible who always obeyed every single time and never failed to obey his mom and dad. Who's that? Jesus. That's right. Everything that Jesus did, he did it in a way that pleased his Father in heaven. And even as a child, the Bible says that he grew in grace, wisdom, stature. Jesus Christ, even when he was a little kid, was an obedient kid. Do you think Jesus would have ever talked back to his mother? Do you think Jesus would have, when his mother and father, although his father was really in heaven, but his mother and Joseph, do you think if his mother and Joseph had said to Jesus, Jesus, time for you to pick up your toys. He probably had toys when he was a kid, because he was a kid, remember that? There was a time when he was 3 years old and 4 years old and 5 years old and 6 years old. Do you think Jesus, when he was 7, just stood in the corner and studied Hebrew scrolls? No, he probably played in the dirt. And do you think when Jesus was 12 and 13 and his mother said to him to do something, do you think Jesus obeyed? Do you think Jesus would have ever gone over into the corner and gone? No, he would have never done that. You know why? Jesus said in one place in the Bible, he says, I do always those things that please him, my Father. I do always those things that please him. It was in the Lord's heart that he always wanted to please his mother and father and to obey them. And that's what we ought to do too, because Jesus set that example for us. Now, there's some promises in the Bible, and we're going to have to stop with this. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, this is the way the Apostle Paul said this. And he tells us about some blessings. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, who didn't get a chance to? Anybody? Okay, Thomas? Okay, go ahead. Ephesians chapter 6. Read verse 1. Real big and loud. Okay, did everybody hear that? How many of you could hear Thomas read that? Okay, how many of you know that verse by heart? Who could say that verse by heart without looking at your Bible? Anybody can say that by heart? Yes, go ahead. Can you say that? Okay, say it real big and loud. For this is right. Okay, did he get it right? He did it right. Okay, anybody else want to? Okay, go ahead. Okay, somebody else. Go ahead, hon. Okay, go ahead. Okay. Okay, Keen. Okay, make sure your parents can hear you. Big and loud. Okay, go ahead. Okay, for this is right. Okay, Keith? Okay, somebody else. Who else would like to say that? Anybody else know that verse? Okay, yes, ma'am. For this is what? Right. For this is what? Right. Can you say it, Patrick? For this is right. For this is right. Those things that are pleasing in God's eyes are those things that are right. When I do what's right, according to God's word, God promised to bless me. And when I do what's wrong, then God promised to hold back His blessings and not bless me. How many of you would like to have God's blessings in your life? I know I want them. I want God's blessings. I want God's protection and God's care. And I want all those things that God has for us. And God's promise to bless any child that will do that which is right in His eyes. Verse number 2. Who would like to read that one? Ephesians chapter 2. Okay. Okay, and verse 3. Okay. Amen. Now, we talked about Jesus Christ a little bit. And you know, the Bible says that even Jesus learned obedience. Imagine that. Jesus was God's Son, and yet Jesus Christ, the Bible says, He had to learn obedience. That means obedience isn't in you naturally from birth. You have to learn to obey. And the Bible says even Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things which He suffered. There's another verse in the Bible in Philippians chapter 2. It says that Jesus Christ, although he was God, and we know that Jesus was God, yet when He came to this earth, He humbled Himself, He became a little baby, and then He grew up as a little kid. He knew what it was like to be, how old are you, John? 8 years old. Jesus Christ was 8 years old one time. He knew what it was like to be 8 years old. He knows exactly what it's like to be just the same age that you are right now. And as Jesus was growing up, the desire in His heart is that He would please His mother and father, please His heavenly Father, and do those things that were pleasing in their sight. In Philippians it says this, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus obeyed. And because Jesus obeyed, His Father in heaven was pleased, and His Father in heaven blessed Him. Right now, as you guys are, you're not yet responsible enough to drive the car, not yet responsible enough to run the country, not yet responsible enough to have a family yet. And until God gives you those responsibilities, what's your most important responsibility right now? To obey your parents. Is that complicated? No? I know it's not easy, but it's a pretty simple command to understand. It means to do what mom and dad say, and to do it with the right spirit and the right heart attitude. When Jesus Christ obeyed, I don't believe He obeyed with a frown. When Jesus Christ obeyed, I think He obeyed quickly. Somebody has said that delayed obedience is disobedience. And there's truth in that. Delayed obedience is disobedient. If you're told to do something, then when should you do it? Right then. To delay, to wait to obey, means you've disobeyed. So when mom and dad say to do something, you should do it. Do it with the right heart attitude, do it with a happy spirit, do it quickly, and do it as unto the Lord. And remember, God sees you. The eyes of the Lord, the Bible says, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Can the Lord see you at home? Can He see you there? He sees you everywhere, right? Can He see you when you're out playing with your friends? Yeah. Can he see you at school? Can he see your thoughts when mom and dad aren't around? When mom tells you to do one thing and you're just so happy when you're out of the house and down the street and then you can do what you want? Some kids do that. You ought to remember, I don't care if you're 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You may think it doesn't really count because mom and dad can't see it. But God sees everything. God sees us even when we're by ourselves. And God sees the thoughts in our heart. And the thing that pleases our Heavenly Father is that when we, with the right heart attitude, choose to obey Him with all of our heart. And God promised to bless us. Now when it comes to getting to heaven, that's even the way you get to heaven. Because the gospel is to be obeyed. The Bible says that men are to repent. That means turn away from their sin. God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so if you're here today and you're a grown-up or you're a kid and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, in a sense, obedience is even the way into heaven. Obedience is the way that we get eternal life. It's by obeying the gospel. There's a verse in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, says that when Jesus Christ returns to this earth at His glorious appearing, He will take vengeance on those who obeyed not the gospel. Obeyed? You mean you get saved by obeying? Yeah, the Bible says, repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ. Put your life and your heart and your hand, put your heart into the hand of the Lord and trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. It requires obedience to do that. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, if you're not a child of God, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, in this are manifest the children of God and the children of the devil. That's all there is. Say, well, I'm not yet saved. Then be honest and admit you're a child of the devil.
I don't like that.
Well, the Bible says so. The children of God and the children of the devil. There isn't anybody in between. If a person is saved, the Bible says they're children of God. And if so, then God has put His Holy Spirit inside of you, and there is a witness within you that you are a child of God. You know you are. The Bible says so. God puts His Holy Spirit inside of you so that you can know that you're a child of God. Nobody else may know it, but you can know it. You and God can know it because the Holy Spirit lives within you if you're a child of God. And if you don't have that knowledge and you don't have that assurance that you really are a child of God, then you need to be born into God's family. You need to become like a child, like the Lord said. Simple faith in Jesus Christ. It's so simple. Believe like a little child tends to believe. Believe like a child and trust Jesus Christ and God will make you His child and you can have eternal life. Thank you, boys and girls, for your attention. Our verse that we started out with says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And I hope that you'll do that. Let's bow our heads today. All of us, even the big kids, moms and dads, the little kids. Let's bow our heads this morning. I'm glad the Bible tells me that God cares about children. I'm glad the Bible tells me that God cares about children being saved. When you read about some people getting saved in the Bible, like the Philippian jailer, it tells us that even those in his house got saved with him. That would be his children, his wife and his children. God cares about children knowing him. Jesus Christ came not just to die for adults, but he came to die for all of us. And I'm not one of those who believes that you got to be 10 or 12 or 14 or 15 in order to get saved. I know there are some grown-ups in this room that got saved when they were 5 and 6 and 7. And that's very possible for that to happen. For a little child to so completely trust Jesus Christ